This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Friday, February 29th, I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, we'll hear about a wheelchair basketball player who is also a successful novelist. AM 580's Michael Kaliska has an interview with Arlie McNeeney. And we'll have a look at your AM 580 weather forecast, a warming one for this weekend. But first, a look at today's news. The head of the University of Illinois Health Center says two recent cases of bacterial meningitis could not have come at a worse time. The U of I confirmed that a male former student is hospitalized in critical condition with the disease, which is spread through close contact. This case follows one reported last week. That patient, a female, was released from the hospital and is expected to recover. McKinley Health Center Director Dr. Robert Palinkas says they've managed to find about 25 students known to have had contact with the former student. Many of them have been given an antibiotic. But he says today's unofficial St. Patrick's Day creates a bad environment for fighting meningitis.
There is going to be, you know, high-density people. There's going to be a lot of traffic and people coming in from outside the region. People may drink to the point where their judgment is poor, and they may forget about some important hygiene things like don't share your glass, or people, you know, might be kissing hello unnecessarily.
Palinkas says signs are going up in campus dorms, Greek houses, bars, and other areas reminding people of the symptoms and the ways meningitis can spread. But he says the signs are not meant to scare people. He feels they've done a good job of finding the people who had direct contact with patients. Ameren's proposed increase in its gas and delivery charges drew plenty of criticism at a public forum in Champaign last night. The Illinois Commerce Commission held the meeting to gather public input on the rate hike request. AM 580's Jim Meadows has more.
About 20 people spoke against Ameren's rate request, citing the burden on customers with fixed incomes, the jump in Ameren's fourth quarter earnings, and the hike in electricity rates approved for Ameren just last year, ending a 10-year rate freeze. This new rate increase request would cover the cost of delivering power to customers, not the power itself, and it would be different for each of Ameren's various service areas. State Representative Naomi Jacobson of Urbana said the highest increases would fall on Ameren IP customers.
Of the $247 million increase that Ameren is asking, nearly 80% of that will be coming from Ameren IP consumers.
But Ameren Illinois Executive Craig Nelson said the former Illinois Power service area needed a bigger rate hike because its present rates were lower than the other Ameren service areas, and because its former owner, Dynegy, had neglected its infrastructure. Last night's comments were taken down by a court reporter for the Illinois Commerce Commission, which will rule on Ameren's rate hike request in the fall. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
One person remains hospitalized in a northern Chicago suburb. Witnesses say they heard a loud noise and saw windows blow out when an explosion ripped through a strip mall yesterday. The blast shattered windows at nearby stores and shook neighbors. Mike Ree has this report from North Suburban Waukegan.
The explosion occurred along Waukegan's commercial strip. It blew out the windows of the hair salon and its neighboring shops, a cell phone store and Tuxedo World. Gary Padma was working at his health food store across the street when the explosion happened.
You heard this tremendous boom explosion. You can actually feel it. I swear it moved me to the side of the store. And your first thing says turn away, but then in a split second you turn and you look back and you see the brown cloud just come out towards you.
Padma says the windows in his store blew out as well. Several witnesses say they saw mannequins fly out of the Tuxedo store during the blast and were relieved to see they weren't actual people. I'm Mike Ree.
Court records indicate pornographic images of bondage and rape were among the files retrieved from computers police seized from the home of a former Bloomington police officer accused of rape. Jeff Pilo has pleaded not guilty to nearly three dozen charges, alleging he raped four women between 2002 and 2005. The 42-year-old also pleaded not guilty to charges he stalked another woman in April of 2005. A March 10th hearing is set on several pending motions that could, if resolved, set the stage for an April 7th trial of Pilo. Illinois hospitals may finally be on the way to receiving money they are owed, but political squabbling has prevented them from getting so far. Amanda Vinicky has more.
Under an agreement between the state and federal governments, Illinois hospitals are due to get more than $1 billion. However, as one legislator put it, there were a lot of false starts on Illinois' behalf, and the state never approved getting the hospitals the money. Once, the funding measure was tied to a pay raise for lawmakers. Another time, Governor Blagojevich took too long to act on it, so the deal expired. Democratic Senator John Sullivan of Rushville says it caused problems for hospitals in his area that were counting on the money.
They have budgeted these dollars into their cash flow, and they haven't materialized yet. So yes, they have had to do some short-term borrowing and take some other steps and measures to cover the lack of these funds.
But now things are moving forward. The Senate approved the plan, and the House is expected to do so in early March. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
A battery-powered solar-charged LED lamp wins this year's Lemelson Illinois Students Inventors Award. Recent University of Illinois graduate Patrick Walsh received the $30,000 check yesterday for his invention. He says he hopes his lamp will replace unhealthy and dangerous kerosene lamps. Walsh already started his own company, Greenlight Plant, but he says making money is not the priority.
First, we're trying to help people, and at some point we realized that the best way to do that was to start a company and produce something, you know, in a sustainable way where we could let the market solve a problem instead of trying to get donations and move donations into developing countries.
Walsh says his lamp could bring light to millions of houses in India, Africa, or Latin America. He says the solar-charged LED lamp will cost about $15 to $20. A new proposed bridge plan between Missouri and Illinois is expected to carry about 40,000 vehicles a day. The bridge is scheduled to be opened by 2015. It would be the fifth span between St. Louis and the Metro East. By 2030, it's expected to carry up to 55,000 vehicles a day. Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich and Missouri Governor Matt Blunt yesterday announced a deal for a new four-lane, $640 million span meant to ease congestion at one of the nation's busiest crossings. Both governors say the bridge will benefit the region's economy and commuters. Blagojevich calls it the right thing to do, and Blunt says the new span will help tie these two states together. Missouri would pick up about $88 million of the tab and cover any cost overruns. For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bossert. An accident in her teens that left Arlie McNeeney with only partial use of her legs led to her success in wheelchair basketball. And that experience provides the background for the University of Illinois graduate student's first novel entitled Post. McNeeney played with Canada's national wheelchair basketball team, which won a bronze medal in the 2004 Olympics in Athens. And now her first novel is shortlisted for the Commonwealth Writers' Prize in the Best First Book category. AM 580's Michael Kaliska spoke with McNeeney off the basketball court during the National Women's Wheelchair Basketball Championships, now underway in Champaign.
You're a national champion, you're a world champion in wheelchair basketball, and you won the Olympic bronze medal with the Canadian team, and you write. How do you bring these two things together?
Well, I think that a lot of the focus that you need is the same, that when I'm playing really well, you kind of get into that zone where everything's flowing and everything's, you know, really easy, and you almost don't realize that time has passed. You know, basketball and writing, it's that same feeling that you're trying to recreate. And I think in terms of subject matter, being an athlete makes me a lot more, write a lot more kind of visceral, a lot more sensual detail, because I think I pay more attention to my body, the way the body moves.
Yeah, can you tell me a little bit about the book? I mean, are there like, you know, biographical parallels there?
It's not autobiographical. I didn't really want to, when I was originally at the University of Victoria, the mentor that I had suggested that I write a memoir, but I was like 19 at the time. I was like, I don't think I have enough life experience to write a memoir. So we decided to, you know, I would try to write a novel. You know, I think the parallels are there in terms of the character has the same disability as I do. There's a few scenes that, like things I saw in Athens that are similar, but you know, I was 20 when I wrote the book, and the main character is 32.
Can you just quickly narrate in 30 seconds maybe what the book is all about?
The book's about a woman named Nolan who retires from wheelchair basketball and is trying to figure out what she's going to do with her life next. And she's having trouble kind of figuring out kind of an identity after her career. And so she kind of becomes obsessed with her first year on the national team and this relationship that she had with this player coach figure on a club team that she was playing at.
So, I mean, for you, you already figured out what you want to do after wheelchair basketball, I suppose.
I'm getting an MFA in creative writing, and that's maybe not the most, you know, immediately leading to a job kind of degree, but I think I would like to, you know, teach and stuff after basketball, but I'm still thinking about it.
Maybe it depends a little bit on the success of the book as well, isn't it?
Yeah, in terms of like being able to make a living from writing, I just didn't have a concept that anybody but like my mom would read it. You know, I was expecting that like 90% of the book sales would go to people I knew. You know, it's really been a kind of strange experience to see it on the on bookshelves and to have people who are not my relatives, you know, reading it. I know they sold out on Amazon. I don't know what that means though.
Can you tell me a little bit about how you got into wheelchair basketball in the first place?
I got into basketball when I was 14. I was totally unathletic. Before I was disabled, I was really, you know, very nerdy, straight A's in school, very shy, very awkward. And they kept trying to get me out to play wheelchair basketball. I'm really tall. They thought I'd do well in it. And I just kept refusing and refusing and refusing, and finally they bribed me with a chocolate bar, and you know, I kind of realized that I really enjoyed sports, whereas if I hadn't been disabled, I would not have played sports.
But when did the writing aspect come in?
You know, from basically the moment that when I was a baby, my dad used to read me Shakespeare, and almost my first words were the Macbeth's like tomorrow and tomorrow soliloquy. So I've always kind of been geared towards writing. Sport came a lot later.
So how old are you right now, and are you already planning to do something else?
I'm 25 right now. In terms of writing, I'm working, and my thesis will be my next book, which will be completely different. And in terms of basketball, this may be my last year playing basketball. Since I've moved to Illinois, I've kind of had a series of, you know, injuries.
But are you planning to kind of attend the Olympic Games this year? Or?
Yeah, my goal is to make it to Beijing and then kind of evaluate where, you know, my kind of health is after that and go from there. I would like to play for longer, but Beijing is the goal.
U of I wheelchair basketball player and novelist Arlie McNaney. Her team is defending its title in the National Women's Wheelchair Basketball Championships. Their next game is this morning at 11:30 at the U of I's Huff Hall in Champaign. In the forecast for East Central Illinois, mostly cloudy, a 20% chance of showers this morning. Mostly sunny this afternoon, the high around 38 degrees. Partly cloudy tonight, the low around 22. Mostly sunny tomorrow, the high around 40. Mostly cloudy tomorrow evening, the low around 32. Breezy, mostly cloudy Sunday, a chance of showers in the afternoon, the high around 52 degrees. Showers likely Sunday night, a chance of thunderstorms, the low around 38. And rain likely Monday with a high around 42. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, February 29th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, wiol.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.